with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Today's guest is a regular on AbleQuest and is, as usual, a reservoir of information on past, present and upcoming assistive technology for people with low or no vision. David Woodbridge has worked as an adaptive technology consultant at Vision Australia for more than 20 years. In his role, David assesses, recommends and installs assistive technology solutions for clients. He also researches and evaluates new and upcoming technology that can help blind and visually impaired people be more independent. Barbara Sullivan spoke to David by phone to get the latest on Windows 10 and new technology offered at Vision Australia.
David, it's marvellous to have you back on AbleQuest. Thanks for taking the time.
It's been my pleasure, as usual.
Actually, there's a lot going on from a preliminary conversation with you. You've got a lot on your head. But one of the things that Marnie and I were interested in was the recent CSUN Assistive Technology Conference held earlier this month in California. What were the things that stood out for you at the conference?
There's probably a few things, and some of them are sort of things that are yet to come out, and some of them are actually available in the next month or two. Probably the one of the interesting concepts, and it's available to buy sort of in another 6 months or so, and it's called the DOT, which is a braille display enabled smartwatch. And it'll work off either the iPhone or the Android system. And primarily it's used for doing notifications from your smartphone. So SMS messages, Facebook updates, all that sort of stuff. Plus it talks the time, the date, and a few other different options. It's controlled via an app that you run on either Android or on iPhone. It's a four-cell braille display, so roughly 26 dots, or was it 24 or 26 dots anyway. But what they've done, which I thought was interesting, is, for example, the battery level indication just has some dots in a pattern to tell you when the battery level's getting low rather than having a number, which I thought was quite a good idea. So people say, oh, you know, come on, mate, you know, four braille cells, that's four characters. But you can scroll it, and if you read it cleverly, then you can use it. So that's one thing I'm looking forward to having a play with. The other one that caught my attention was the new system, and it's called the EL Braille. And what it is, it's a docking station, which is actually a Windows 10 computer, which you then slot in either a Focus 14 or Focus 40 Braille display. So in effect, you end up with a Braille note-taking Windows 10 computer that's portable. And of course, you run JAWS on it because that's what connects with the Braille display. You can run any software on Windows 10 because that's what it is. So you can run, you know, OpenBook, the scanning software. You could run NVDA if you wanted to. Any software that runs on Windows 10 will run on the EL Braille. So that was something else that was also extremely exciting.
Is that available at the moment, the EL?
No, it's, I believe the 14-cell one's available in May, I believe, and then the 40-cell version will be later on this year. But I'm always keen to look at new technologies, so hopefully I'll get my hands on it sooner than later. And I guess the other major thing that sort of caught my attention was just, this is probably a general thing, was just the overall increase in making modern technology or making the existing, particularly Braille technology, more up-to-date. So rather than using, you know, older software that's maybe 5 or 6 years old, it's looking at modernising technology, particularly with Android, to say that this software that is accessible and that produces Braille display-type stuff is fully accessible and it's a modern operating system. So I thought that was really good as well.
And so in the past, it's been that Braille technology was based on the previous version than people with non-Braille would have. Is that what you're saying?
That's right, yes. Yes, and the interface, I mean, the two main ones that I'm thinking about here are probably the Braille Note Touch and the new one coming out from HIMSS or Pacific Vision here in Australia, hopefully about the first week in April, is the Braille Sense Polaris. So that's, again, based on Android, like the Braille Note Touch is.
Right.
And because it's based on Android, it means that you can not only use the dedicated software that the company sell, but you can use off-the-shelf Android Play Store apps as well. So that really opens it up quite a lot. And rather than making it a closed-ended braille system, it's an open-ended braille system.
Talking of Windows, there's quite a lot going on with Windows 10, isn't there, in terms of accessibility? Tell me about the JAWS and NVDA.
Yes, there is a lot going on. I probably should warn people that there's an update coming out to Windows 10 extremely shortly. And when I say shortly, I mean probably next couple of months or so. If you're not using the latest version of JAWS 18, 17 or 16, or the screen magnification program, again available from the FO group, which is Magic version 13.1 or 14, your screen reader or screen magnifier will not work properly. So that was just a bit of a warning before I get onto the other good stuff. So make sure that your software is all up to date all the time, and then you won't be in trouble. But what places like JAWS and NVDA are doing is they're making JAWS and NVDA more accessible for the type of things that we want to use. So, for example, the Kindle app that's in Windows 10, if you're using the latest version of JAWS and the latest version of NVDA, you will now be able to read Kindle books from Amazon on your Windows 10 computer. So
that's
rather
wonderful.
Than having to have the dedicated Kindle PC audio version, you can just use your standard screen reader, JAWS or NVDA, and you can use it with the Kindle app to read all your Amazon books. So for me, that's great because last count, I've got about 900 Kindle books that I can only read on my Android or iPhone, but now I can read them on my Windows 10 computer now.
All you need is a few more hours in the day to get through them all.
That's right. And the other exciting news about Windows 10, of course, is the KNFB Reader app, which is the Scanning and Optical Character Recognition app, OCR, that we always recommend for Android and for iPhones for scanning in and translating the printed text word. That's now available on the Windows 10 platform. So if you've got a Windows 10 Surface tablet, for example, with a camera, or your laptop's got a camera in it, or you're using some sort of webcam or digital camera, you'll be able to use the KNFB Reader app to do your scanning. So rather than spending lots of money on a scanning app, you'll be able to spend $150 and get yourself a fully functional Windows 10 scanning application for your computer. Really exciting.
This reads virtually every type of printed matter, doesn't it? Whether it's emails or receipts or...
It does, yeah. I mean, anything with optical character recognition, you can't read handwriting. So it won't do handwriting, but for bills, newsletters, receipts, brochures, all that sort of stuff, it'll read it very nicely. The other thing about Windows 10, which is very exciting because it's the first time it's ever been done, and that is Microsoft Windows, when it comes out in the next couple of months, will support refreshable braille displays. So up to this point, you could only use speech output, large print, speech input, all that sort of stuff, but you could never use a refreshable braille display, whereas now, via a third-party application that gets installed when you want to use braille on your Windows 10 computer, that will fully support up to about 35 different braille displays. So you can both input in braille if your device has got a braille-type keyboard, or just displays in braille normally. So for the first time since, what's that, Windows 3.1 back in, 1994 roughly?
Yeah.
A long time later, we've now got full braille support. So it's not just Apple Macs that have got braille support since 2005. We now have Windows standard supporting braille displays without having to use, you know, NVDA or JAWS. Narrator itself will fully support braille as well. So that's also really exciting news as well.
Took them a long time, but they got there.
They got there. And look, what I keep saying to people is never give up on this stuff. If you just think about that everything's in beta, everything's in progress, everything
yes.
takes time, you'll get there eventually. So I'm a fairly optimistic person. I get cynical sometimes, but I always think it's only just going to get better and it's just around the corner. I've just got to wait a bit longer.
You've got quite a lot going on at Vision Australia as well, haven't you, in terms of improvements? Just run us through a few of those.
We do. I'll do some of the general stuff first. So the first thing we do is Vision Australia has now, we're selling the talking microwave. So I haven't had one
wow.
of these for about maybe 20 years now. So you can get a talking microwave again that tells you the cooking time and whether it's poultry or fish or whatever else you might be doing. The other thing that will hopefully be available maybe end of April or May is what's called the Orbit, O-R-B-E-T, Reader 20-cell refreshable braille display. So rather than having to spend several thousand dollars on a braille display that works with your Windows computer, the Mac, Android or Apple stuff, this one will be between around about $600 to $700. It'll be a 20-cell or 20-character braille display. It'll have an SD card in it, so if you put a BRF, a braille file, into it, you can read, for example, Harry Potter in full contracted Braille. And you can also use it as a very basic text editor because it has a six-input keyboard and a spacebar like Perkins Brailler. And it's going to work extremely nicely. Keep an eye out for that one at the end of April or early May.
And that's like at a fraction of the cost. What's that, about 10% of the cost?
You know, $600 to $700 rather than saying to a parent whose child wants to learn how to read in Braille, that's okay, mum and dad, but it's going to cost you several thousand dollars.
You've got mobile phones and other things.
We do, yeah. So two mobile phone things to highlight is the Olitech, that's O-L-I-T-E-C-H mobile phone. And that's a large print mobile phone for people that have got low vision. So while the keypad talks and it's got large print on the screen, nothing else in the phone talks. But if you rely on speech output primarily, it's not suitable for you. But if you're a low vision person that can see a little bit, then these are great phones. And it's just a basic phone. It makes phone calls, sends and receives messages, and it's got an address book. So it's very basic. It's not a smartphone. And probably the other interesting software that we're now selling with Android-based smartphones, mainly the Samsung ones, is software called Synaptic, and that's S-Y-N-A-P-T-I-C. And what that does, it's a talking interface to Android, which incorporates lots of different programs. So it has a mail program, a web browser, an address book, a scanning program, almost like a closed-circuit TV program, turns the camera into a closed-circuit TV. All of that in one application with all the same gestures. So you don't have to learn 15 different ways of doing different things in different programs.
Yes.
You use the Synaptic software and all the gestures are the same across those applications inside the app itself. And probably just one final thing about our Vision Australia Connect app, which is the one that we use to download Daisy books, newspapers and podcasts from the Vision Australia Library. That's now been updated on iOS and on Android. The whole library system, the Daisy books, the newspapers and the podcasts and the magazines are now fully accessible on either your Android or your iOS device, whether that's your iPhone, iPod Touch or your iPad.
How about this one, Orcam glasses camera? Tell me about this.
Well, so what the Orcam is, people that may not know what it is, it's a little camera that attaches to some glasses. So this is actually any glasses. And you basically use your finger to point at objects or to print, and it's mainly for low vision people, primarily because you've got to point to the thing that you want it to recognise. So if you point to a telegraph pole or point to a sign, it'll tell you that there's a sign, and if it's got text on it, it will also read the text. Or if you drag your finger down a brochure, it will read out to you where your finger is on that page. And it's also got face recognition technology, which, I don't know, I'm not really that comfortable with, because apparently what you can actually do with it is that you can get it to recognise a person's face. So through a recording, you can say, this is Barbara. So next time the camera sees Barbara, it'll say, Barbara. Now, it only stores that information on the actual camera itself. It doesn't go anywhere else. But I just have this funny feeling that if I saw a person using a camera on a pair of glasses, I don't know if I would trust that that camera's only having the information locally rather than beaming it out to the internet. So really good, interesting technology. You do have to have training on it, but at $6,000, I'm going to have to see how it goes more in home education and work. But there's no privacy issues with it. I just think it's how society views things like Google Glasses and other smart glasses that say, well, how do I know that my privacy is being maintained here, guys?
Well, we can come back to you for an update on that in about 6 months' time, David.
Indeed, absolutely.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.